We are beginning tonight a new question in our study of the larger catechism. And it is number 68. We have finished last Lord's Day, number 67. So we are going to consider number 68. And this one is of a little different nature to the last one. And God helping us, we will be able to finish this one in one session and move on, because we have quite a way to go. We have 196 of these, and that's a long way. So we're going to begin by reading the question and answer of number 68. Are the elect only effectually called? All the elect, and they only, are effectually called, although others may be, and often are, outwardly called by the ministry of the Word, and have some common operations of the Spirit, who for their willful neglect and contempt of the grace offered to them, being justly left in their unbelief, do never truly come to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think we can read those words without something of a ringing of the heart, because you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had assumed a true human nature, and He wept over Jerusalem with real tears, with a real tender heart, because He knew that as they rejected Him, they were bringing destruction upon themselves in a few short years. And so it is, as the hymn writer said, was it Watts or Newton, who said, with pleasing grief and mournful joy, my spirit now is filled. Because we are thankful for the Lord's grace to us. But it does grieve us. It gives us pain to think of our loved ones that have long rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Those without God, those without hope. It's not a pleasant thing to think about. But yet, we believe what God says in His Word. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures here, and we will move into this matter of the elect only. Acts chapter 13, verse 48 tells us, and when the Gentiles heard this, that the gospel was for them, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And then the very familiar verse in Matthew 22, verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now to the elect only. All the elect. And they only are effectually called. To the elect only seems a very cruel and heartless doctrine and an action of God to the natural mind. It seems as a very cruel doctrine and a very cruel action of God to the natural mind. Now let's understand that. That is the way the natural mind views it. The reason for the natural mind having this belief and attitude toward the doctrine of election is because the natural mind has never really understood itself. The natural mind has never understood its own enmity and hatred toward God. We read about that this morning in our scripture reading in John chapter 15. You remember what Jesus said. Jesus said there in John 15 verse 18, He said, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." And down in verse 23, Jesus said, "He that hateth me, hateth my Father also." And that is the natural mind's attitude toward God. And it would be our attitude toward God. It was our attitude toward God, and it would be our attitude toward God had not the grace of God changed us. Now, praise God for election. The natural mind cannot understand it. The natural mind looks on it as cruelty because the natural mind cannot understand itself. We're going to look at that response of the natural mind as we close this out tonight. Because what does the natural man say? It's not fair. But you need to take a good dictionary and look up the meaning of the word fair. And you will say, praise God, He's not fair. He's good instead of fair. All right. Now, there are other names that God has given to His elect people in the Scripture. You think about the many different names. I was just, even as we were singing, I was intrigued thinking about the different names that the Lord has given to His elect people. As we're singing songs, some of these things came to mind. Now, we are called His sheep. Remember Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice," John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, I know them. And they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Now that's wonderful, because He says about His sheep, He knows them, and His sheep are known by the fact that they follow Him. And we follow Him because He has converted us into His sheep. Made us His own followers. So the elect people are called His sheep. But, you know, in John chapter 17, seven times Jesus says, "Of those that are the elect, those that Thou hast given Me, those given to Christ by the Father," Jesus describes His elect that way. In John 17, but you know that very familiar verse, John 6:37, that we used to only hear the last half of. What does He say the first half of John chapter 6, verse 37? "All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me." And there He says it again. His elect people are those given to Him by the Father. We're also called the chosen in Christ. Wonderful, wonderful words. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, that most familiar passage. We know what it says, Ephesians 1, 4, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." And then in both of the Thessalonian epistles, Paul writing to the believers in Thessalonica. In his first letter and his second letter, he goes over this again. In chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 4, what does the apostle say to the people in the congregation in Thessalonica? "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." How did he know their election? He says in the next verse, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." He could see it. And Barnabas, when Barnabas went to Samaria, what could Barnabas see in the people? when Barnabas saw the grace of God. The grace of God was incarnated in a bunch of believers' clay temples. And Barnabas, when he got there and saw what God had been doing, as Philip the deacon and evangelist had been preaching, Barnabas saw the grace of God in those people. And Paul, remembering what God had done in Thessalonica when he preached there, he says, knowing, brethren, your election of God. And in his second letter to the Thessalonian believers, in chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. There it is again. He says, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Wow. What a wonderful truth. Now, we also read that the elect are called those who are predestinated. Romans 8, 29 and 30. And this is what a lot of people don't like about our congregation. They said, oh, those people believe in predestination. They believe in election. What a shame that we should believe such things. They feel very bad toward us for believing that. But the Lord says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. He has predestinated His elect people. And what else are the elect called in the Word of God? Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that is in Revelation 21 and verse 27. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there's one more. In Revelation 21 and verse 9, what are the elect people of God called? The bride. The Lamb's wife. There it is. What wonderful names that the Lord has given in His Word for His elect people. Now, the Holy Spirit only carries out His saving, effectual call in the elect. Now, there it is. All the elect and they only are effectually called. Now, what about others? And here, let's remember ourselves among them. Although others may be and often are outwardly called by the ministry of the Word and have some common operations of the Spirit. Wow. Common operations of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, through the reading and the hearing of the Word, convicts many of sin. Many people are convicted. Many then outwardly reform their lives. Some to a lesser degree, and some to a greater degree, upon hearing the convicting Word, as the Spirit of God applies the Word with conviction, they reform their lives, either to a lesser or greater degree. Now here we are in Christ. Could we not stop at this point and weep? Could we not stop right here and weep with Robert Murray McShane, who wrote, why was I made to hear Thy voice and enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? I think of my classmates in high school. So many of them are dead already. And I'd have to say that many of my friends in my class were better men than I was as a senior in high school. And yet, even by their own testimony, some of them are dead and gone into a Christless eternity. And why was I made to hear His voice and in her father's room. I can only conclude what the apostle says in 1 Corinthians, that God has chosen the foolish things and the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The Holy Spirit not only convicts of sin so many people and causes people to reform their lives in one way or another. And you think of that. How many times we tried to straighten up our lives and we're going to turn over a new leaf and we're going to go forward with more determination. And I can think of those years and I really tried. But I knew nothing of Christ's imputed righteousness. I only heard those things that we talked about in Sunday school today. That God wasn't really connected. That redemption wasn't really connected in any way. It was just that God would not execute the penalty on you if you would just receive His salvation and His grace. There wasn't anything about imputed righteousness. It was terrible. And how many times did we try to straighten ourselves out and we couldn't do it? We couldn't manage it. The Holy Spirit was convicting us, but not converting us. The Holy Spirit also restrains many sinners from much sin and evil. If He didn't do that, the world would be a much worse place than it is right now. The remainder of wrath, God is restraining. Praise Him for His restraining grace, restraining work of the Holy Spirit. And you know, every act of human kindness and mercy is due to the common, non-saving operations of the Holy Spirit. We saw some touching things at the Creation Museum. We saw several afflicted children. You think about that. You think about families that have children like that. And I know some of the dear Christian believers there had adopted some afflicted children. You think even the common kindnesses and the mercy that's shown by people to little children. And there are people out there in the world who are showing kindness, and yet that is simply a common operation of the Holy Spirit for many people, showing mercy and kindness to others. And you think about, we saw a young lady with a little afflicted child. And I think I saw her later with her husband as they were pushing him along in a little stroller. Just think about people that only have, I'm not talking about them, these are people that are listening to the Word. This is amazing, but you know, you think of people out there that out of a common operation of the Holy Spirit, showing kindness and mercy to an afflicted child and taking care of that child all their days or all the child's days. And yet, I believe those little children inherit the kingdom of God. Those little imbeciles and children who can't understand. But you think of the people that take care of them. So many people, just out of a common operation of the Spirit, showing kindness and mercy to their fellow human beings. And that's it. Well, the common operations of the Holy Spirit in a person's life are generally of a temporary nature. There's no denying that lost souls neglect and misuse the common operations of the Holy Spirit. Let's go on here in our answer to the number 868. Although others may be and often are outwardly called by the ministry of the Word and have some common operations of the Spirit, who for their willful neglect and contempt of the grace offered to them, being justly left in their unbelief, do never truly come to Jesus Christ. And this really touches the heart. This touches my heart. There is no denying that lost souls neglect and misuse the common operations of the Holy Spirit before they are finally withdrawn from those poor doomed souls. How do we know that there is no denying that poor lost people abuse and misuse and neglect those common operations? Because we do too. We know from our own fallen natures, we can remember many times how we have abused and neglected and disobeyed what Elijah called the still small voice. And yet the Lord has showed us mercy and saving grace. Look over at Proverbs chapter 1. You see it so plainly there. People say, it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair. Proverbs 1 and verse 24. Because I have called, this is the general call. Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity and will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. And shall be quiet from fear of evil. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. Why was I made to hearken? To listen to His voice. And to enter in while there's room. You know, the voice of the natural man, the very mind of the natural man, and speaks against God regarding the matter of election. And what is the big thing that you hear? If you talk to people and people ask you, why do y'all believe that? Then they'll tell you right off the bat, it's not fair. It can't be God, because God is fair. Well, we praise God that rather than being fair, He is good. Because a strict definition of the word fair, if you look it up in a good dictionary, a dictionary that's more than Wikipedia or Wicca dictionary, you look up a good dictionary, a good thick dictionary, then you will find that the strict definition of fair is actually legal justice. God's not fair. And I praise God that He's not fair. For if we all got legal justice, if we got it, we would all be doomed. Christ magnifies God's goodness by showing that God is good rather than strictly fair. If you turn with me over to Matthew chapter 20 for just a moment, you'll see that Jesus is magnifying God's goodness. And instead of being fair, in Matthew 20, verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And notice what he did to these first bunch of laborers. And when he had agreed with the laborers for what? A penny a day. He sent them into his vineyard. And how many people live in the land of plenty and have food to eat every day, have a measure of health and strength, and have so many blessings, and yet they would raise their hand at God and say, "You're not fair." Alas, they praise God, he's not fair. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing in the marketplace, said to them, "Go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever's right I'll give you." Now you notice he didn't tell them he was going to give them, you know, a penny, but he said, "What's right, I'll give you." Again he went out the sixth hour and did, and the ninth hour, and did likewise. Verse 5, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, "Because no man hath hired us." He saith unto them, "Go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive." So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first." Okay, the first are not going to get theirs to the end. And they're watching all these other people go up, and they're all getting a penny. So, yeah, man, we were here so long, we're going to get a lot extra. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received their man a penny. When the first came, they supposed they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful or legal for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I'm good and I'm not fair? I'm good instead of being fair. Because if I was fair, strict justice. If God were fair, if natural man got the strict justice, he wouldn't want it. Thus, the natural man's view of justice is dishonest. He would force God or rob God of his goodness and sovereignty. Do you see that? Man wanting to force God to be fair, natural man would force God or rob God of his goodness and of his sovereignty. Wicked man says, "I deserve goodness as much as anyone does." True, but none of us deserve it. The perverse mind does not even understand all the words that come out of his own mouth. None of us deserve any divine goodness. Because as felons against Almighty God, we have already forfeited all of our rights. As felons against Almighty God, we have all forfeited all of our rights. We have no rights as felons. And what we have is of God's goodness. We praise God that we don't have what's fair, because the meaning of fair is legal justice. Ooh. Praise God we don't have that. And look over at Romans chapter 9. You see it so plainly there. Romans chapter 9, and just a little bit here. Verse 14, what should we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? The Greek word is megenita here. May it never be. It's translated, "God forbid." For he saith to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion." So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, "Even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth." Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? We have all resisted his will, because what is his will? His will has been declared in his word, and that is obedience to him. And we have all resisted that. We have all resisted his will, his words, and his commandments, and we've gone our own way. For who has resisted his will? Perverse man says. Verse 20, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared unto glory. Well, praise God. He's not fair. He's not fair. And when wicked man says, well, I deserve his goodness as well as the rest of people do. Yep, he's right. We all deserve it the same. Not at all. Because as wicked felons against the Almighty, we have forfeited all of our rights and all of our deservings. Praise his name for his electing grace. Because if he had not chosen any, none would be saved. Praise his name. He has chosen such a vast multitude of the human race, that it will never, by man's ability, be counted up. Such a vast number. And he graciously calls us his elect people. Number 68. Let's say this one last time together. Are the elect only effectually called? With me, please. All the elect, and they only, are effectually called. Although others may be and often are outwardly called by the ministry of the Word and have some common operations of the Spirit, who for their willful neglect and contempt of the grace offered to them, being justly left in their unbelief, do never truly come to Jesus Christ. This doctrine, the doctrine of God's election, should have upon us a most humbling effect. It should cause us to be compassionate toward others and even endeavor to speak to others the words of eternal life, because God has been so gracious to us and He has a vast multitude to save. What a blessing it is. And how we should be heartbroken even as we consider the fact that God did not pass us by. But God, in His effectual grace, has brought us to embrace the Savior.